Hands up if you're a small business owner who loves HR admin.
Or processing payroll.
Or onboarding new employees. Anyone?
Crickets. Sure, you could do it all by yourself, getting stuck in spreadsheets until 10 p.m. each night.
But who has time for that?
All right. Employment Hero handles all hard, time-consuming, boring employment stuff, so you don't have to.
Employment solved.
Employment Hero.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Dan.
I've got a joke for you.
Please. All right. Far away.
What does payroll admin say when their meetings are running long?
I'm not sure.
We're over time.
That's terrible.
It's a bad one, but it goes with the theme today, which we'll jump in a second. Here's the intro.
Hi, this is Tim. This is just a heads up that all the advice you're hearing in this podcast is general in nature. If you want something more specific, then feel free to contact us.
Drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk, drunk, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk, drunk, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk
accountant. Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Dan.
I'm Tim.
And today we have got our first episode in a series that we're going to be doing, partnering with Employment Hero. We've got with us a great guest, Ben Thompson, CEO, co-founder of Employment Hero. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah, no, it's great. We've been excited to kick off this series for a while. You know, we've been talking with you guys about this. You know, all areas of employment are something that we get questions on from our clients all the time. There's, you know, so much confusion out there about how to process things, you know, what they're meant to be doing, HR, super, you know, all those annoying little tedious compliance bits around employment. So we're hoping to answer all of these questions with you guys over time. But today I'm looking forward to just start this conversation off and have a chat with you. But first, Tim. What is the Tim and Dan low? That is so hard to do when we're not together in the same room. The timing's so off.
It is.
Anyway.
Sorry about that, whoever's listening. Very excited to have Ben here. We've gone straight to the big wig from Employment Hero, the CEO. So, it's good times. Looking forward to picking Ben's brain about all things employment. Dan, what's been happening for you recently?
I just got back from Japan. I was there for a week and a half, which is why we hadn't had an episode last week. Just catching some of that Nile Pow, as I like to say, Tim. You know, just hitting the sweet slopes. You know how it is.
Just ramen.
Yeah.
Draft Biru and Nile in the Pow.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then crushing an onsen in the afternoon. No, it was good. I was there for a week. The first day when we arrived, it was pouring with rain, which if you know anything about rain and freezing temperatures, it creates ice. And so the slopes were just covered in ice and a lot of the snow had melted, but it puked down with snow for the rest of the time we were there. So as the trip went on, the snow got better and better and it was great.
Very happy for you, Dan, that you got to go over there. I've been dealing with a little gastro crisis in my household.
So, yeah, well.
You get to go to Japan, I'm just here looking after my son and wife as well.
I was going to say, there was a different type of puking happening in your house, but both puking.
We're gnarling something else in here. We're gnarling anti-nausea medication and probiotics. That's it for me, really. Just holding down the fort while my business partner gets to go over and shred the slopes up.
Yeah, well, Japan. You know, if we rewind the clock 6 months, we'll remember when you were in Europe for 6 weeks, Tim. And
it's fair. It's fair. It was due.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Ben, what have you been up to? Anything exciting?
It's only Wednesday. It feels like it's already been a full week, but it's been a busy week. We'll come back to it, but I've had a bit of a public stoush with Host Plus, which we'll come back and talk about.
Yeah.
And otherwise, just lots of long hours. Doing a lot of work with our UK team at the moment, so sort of burning the candle at both ends. But it's all good. All good fun.
Wow.
Yeah. It sounds exciting. Sounds like a lot going on.
Yeah. There is a lot going on. in the world of employment and Employment Hero.
Yeah. So, sounds like someone should create like a series or something on this where we like learn a lot about it. It's a great idea.
What a great idea.
Yeah, great idea. All right, Tim. Actually, you know what? Let's go to the business update sponsored by Katz Accountants, as always. Thanks, Katz, for sponsoring our own show. Ben, let's talk about
production quality here. It's off the chart.
Yeah, it's called laziness, Ben. That's where we just all in can, all record it. It's great. Let's dive into this spat that you said you're having, Ben, with Host Plus. What's going on there? I've read a couple articles, but in your own words, what's happening? What's your beef?
Well, so Host Plus have asked the government or Treasury and the government to permanently ban the advertising of superannuation on platforms like Employment Hero. So when you onboard somebody in Australia, if you're an employer, you'll know this, that you have to provide people with a safe work information statement. You have to know that they have work rights in Australia, that do they have a visa or an Australian citizen. They have to submit their tax file declaration and they have to make a choice of super, and they can do three things. They can choose their default fund. They can choose, so the employer default fund, they can choose an existing fund, and they can choose a new fund. And what we do is, as an employee is being onboarded, we have digitized that whole process. And when they get to fund selection, they can look up their existing fund and choose it, which is really stapling, which is what the government wants. They don't want a proliferation of funds.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of people do that. They either choose the employer default or they choose an existing fund, but 10% of people choose a new fund. And we provide them with a panel of MySuper and Choice funds, which means they've sort of been assessed and they're low cost funds, relatively high performing. We don't have any interest in those funds. We're just advertising those funds. And about 10% of people select a fund from that panel.
Mm.
And Host Plus have said they don't want that to happen. And they've submitted legislation to the government saying that, exactly that any platform that deals with employee data should be permanently banned from advertising any form of super fund. Now, the reason for that is that it's basically, they get all the members, like Host Plus in hospitality industry get lots of young members. And as those members mature and their life circumstances change, they may want to switch funds. And if they've got the choice of fund, as we provide it, then they might switch out of Host. And so it's very anti-competitive behavior. And we just think that small businesses don't need to go and manage that process at the ATO, which is where you would have to do it, at the ATO portal. If anyone here, and I'm sure most accountants have had plenty of time pulling their hair out dealing with the ATO portal.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine sending business owners over to the ATO portal every time they onboard somebody? Like they actually have to leave their employment platform and go and do that separately. Employees don't, would have to leave that environment. It would add hours of time to every onboarding session. But also just the fact that employees deserve that choice. It's their money. It's not Host Plus money. It's their savings, hard-earned savings. And so I've basically just decided to say this is wrong. We shouldn't let Host Plus do this. And I've kicked off this sort of campaign. I tried to communicate with Host Plus, but they won't speak to me. So I haven't pulled my head in. I've gone honey badger mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's been a sort of series of posts from me challenging Host Plus and their CEO, David Elliott, to explain why they want to ban advertising and why it's good for their members. But as of yesterday, I've put up $1 million challenge. So I've offered Host Plus $1 million worth of advertising on our platform so that they can compare the performance of our platform in terms of member engagement and retention and member acquisition costs against the $30 million that they spend on sports advertising. And so basically, if if our platform outperforms their current sort of advertising model, then they would pay us $1 million because it works. And if it doesn't, then they get a free $1 million worth of free advertising. Mm-hmm. But David Elliott hasn't responded to that challenge, but it's out there. and I think he should. So that's basically where it's at.
So
I love it.
Yeah. One, you know, funny. Two, I think, is there a problem that you're displaying a whole bunch of different choices, or that people will be shown as preferred choices or advertised choices on your platform? What's the actual issue that they've got?
They are saying that there is the potential for platforms like ours to channel people into particular funds.
Okay. Mm.
So it's not that we've actually done anything wrong. Like, you guys would, you know, being accountants, would understand the degree of regulation around the financial services industry.
Yep.
You know, we have to comply with reams and reams of legislation in just to put up an ad on our site for a potential fund. So they're saying that's not good enough. All of that legislation that requires people to advertise superannuation products, according to the law, that's not enough. You actually just have to ban it outright, because there's the potential that it could go the other way.
It's pretty it's pretty funny, given, like you said, they're advertising in other channels anyway. It's a bit cheeky, I think. I mean, they're obviously a very large fund. Yeah,
you can advertise on Meta, you can advertise on Facebook, you can advertise on billboards, you can advertise at the footy, but you can't advertise when an employee has to make a choice. And, you know, even though you're giving them all the choices that they have to make, you know, and the choice that they most commonly make 90% of the time is that they select an existing fund, which is exactly what the government and the inquiries and everything have recommended. So it's anti-competitive behavior, but it's actually really, really important. And this is, you know, I sort of want way into this without sort of knowing what I was getting myself into, probably, but I've been in the last couple of days. There's two things. One is the whole Australian investment community are shit scared of these big super funds, because the money that they manage is all provided by these big super funds. So you can't say anything about these big super funds. And I had a great quote from one of Australia's leading investment managers for a VC, who said, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, you know, our business was born from these super funds, and you can either speak out and not have a career, or you can stay silent and have a career in Australian investment management. So it goes to show just the power of these things today. But that leads to the second point, which is there's $3.4 trillion of superannuation in Australia today, but that's compounding, you know, 12 cents, 11.5 today, but, you know, shortly 12 cents in every dollar paid to an Australian goes into these super funds. By 2030, according to my ChatGPT calculations, by 2030 there'll be $7 trillion worth of superannuation. By 2040 there'll be $12.6 trillion worth of superannuation, and by 2050 there'll be $23.1 trillion worth of superannuation. If that's all funneled into three or four big funds, which is, you know, what to go, the power of these funds, like, to affect private equity, public companies, you know, it's just phenomenal. Like, we have to have competition. I was just defending myself, and now I realize actually I'm speaking on behalf of Australian employees. I'm speaking on behalf of the Australian business community. I think that, like, having competition in superannuation isn't important, it is essential. And what they are proposing is anti-competitive, and it cannot be ignored. Like, it is, it's a big issue.
Yeah, it is huge. I mean, we've seen what's happened with some findings handed down about the big grocery market chains in Australia and their potential anti-competitive behavior. And imagine that, but with people's retirement savings.
Yeah.
They could basically do whatever they want. So I've been watching The Avengers for the first time recently, and you rattling off those figures about the amount of funds that they have. the big super funds, trillions of dollars. It sounds like something out of like an Avengers movie or like it
doesn't Stark sound real. Industries. Yeah,
yeah, it is. It is. It is like you, until you stop and have a look at this thing and you think about it, like going forward, because you see, yes, there's money that's taken out when someone retires and it's spent, but there's more going in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the maths is it's a compounding growth rate. Mm. And it just becomes, you know, that money has to be invested in Australia. It goes to public companies, private equity, and all of a sudden, like, these funds are controlling, you know, the Australian economy. Like, mm-hmm. you've got to have competition.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the news. So, David Elliott, I'm sure he listens to Two Drunk Podcasts.
Yeah, he'll write in.
Two Drunk Accounts podcast.
Yeah.
And I know that you'll be listening, David. So, you know, see whether or not competition is good for members. There's $1 million on the line. Do it for your members, do it for Australian business, and let's see who wins.
I love it. Challenge issued.
Yeah.
He writes in all the time, doesn't he, Dan?
Yeah, no, he does. He's a big listener. Yeah. So yeah, he'll definitely hear that. But yeah, I think it's really interesting, you know, the you know, on the one hand, they could be pitching in their argument in a way that sounds like, you know, it might have a cause to it. You know, you say, oh, it's you're influencing people at the moment, they're making a choice, that might be bad. But at the same time, you know, that's the same with any marketing or any advertising anywhere. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to advertise? Well, where people buy the product or where people do the thing. That's just the most effective. And as long as you're following the rules and regulations, as you said, around advertising on superannuation or financial products, the very specific rules, you know, we, as you said, we as accountants know we're not allowed to tell people which super fund to use unless we're financial planners. So as long as you're following all those rules and everyone has equal opportunity, which you've given them $1 million opportunity to advertise in the same space, then it's the same as any advertising or marketing, I would have thought.
I'm just waiting for Ben.
The only thing we can do is present factual information. So what we're doing is putting a logo and a link to the product disclosure statement. If we go any further than that and we start to sort of talk about the performance of the fund or doing anything other than just like the most basic representation, we are stepping well beyond, you know, advertising, and we're stepping into advice. And we don't give advice. We just, you know, we're just a platform that can advertise. So, yeah, like, why can't you advertise it? Why can't you provide factual information to people when they're making a choice?
Absolutely. Yeah, particularly if you're not affiliated with anyone. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking forward to the $1 million challenge you issue us, Ben, in due course, whatever that may be. We're up for it, whenever
you're... I'll put my thinking cap on. I'll come up with something, maybe.
Yeah. Full disclosure, we can't pay you $1 million if it works. that's good. That's a great update. That's I'm looking forward to see what people say and think about that one. Tim, tight ass tip. How can you save money?
Look, there's some great ways to save money this week, Dan, as there always is in this well-renowned segment. So this week I wanted to hit on something we've discussed about before, which is the cash rewards app.
Yep.
So I mentioned this one a few years ago. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one, Ben, but
you could not have chosen a worse product to recommend, and I'll come back to it. But go ahead.
Well, I've got a winning story. Okay, so this is a tight ass win, and I want to hear your perspective. I'm open to debate.
I love this, Ben, because normally it's me disputing Tim's stupid tight ass things, but I've got an ally here on the podcast today. This is good. Go on, Tim.
Right. Well, I'm very time poor, and sometimes that's why there's time ass tips, not just tight ass tips. Mm-hmm. And I was buying some prepared meals. Youfoods was my pick, just because they have a high protein option there, and I want to get fit, build some muscle, Dan.
Yep.
So post our DEXA scans. Yeah, you can see. Yeah, exactly. I'm just living the gym now. coming to you live from my gym. So I was gonna buy some prepared meals so I could have some healthy lunches at work. And I was like, well, I'll just check out the cash rewards app and just see what's going on in there. Anyway, fast forward, I've bought 8 meals for $62 and I got a $50 cashback offer. So it cost me $12 for 8 high protein, delicious meals. There's my tight ass win.
That's pretty good. I don't know how to dispute that one.
It's pretty good.
Well,
Ben.
You want me to try?
Yeah.
Look, nothing against cash rewards. It's a good product, and I'm glad that you had a win. but the better app is Swag. Now, I don't know if you've heard about Swag.
Yeah. No.
So Swag is Employment Hero's consumer app. It's the super app for employees, and it's sort of, it's at the core of what we're doing, right? So basically, Employment Hero. I don't know. You've just set me off on a.
I love it.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
So Employment Hero is an HR. You know, it's an employment app. It's if you're a small, medium-sized employer with up to 1,000 employees, we manage every aspect of employment, recruitment, all the way through to payroll, superannuation, etc. But we've got to the size now. We've got 300,000 businesses on the platform, and we're looking at all the problems that small businesses face. And one of those is recruitment. And the way that people have recruited traditionally is that they, you know, what we call pay and pray. They pay for a job ad, they stuck, you know, on Seek, and then they pray that the right candidate comes through, but they've already spent the money. It's not a success thing. So we've created Swag, which allows people to create a profile and apply for jobs. But it also means that we can actually match their profile with 2 million jobs on our platform. So you're actually looking at the jobs that actually exist that have people in them and building a talent pool beside every role. So you log into Employment Hero and you can see, you can click on any role in your organization and there'll be a list of available candidates that could start working for you immediately. So if somebody resigns, you don't need to post a job ad. You've already got all the talent sitting there waiting for you. So Swag is the way into that. That's how you create your profile. But then what we're doing for employees, you know, to make SMEs more attractive as employers, it's pretty hard for a small business to compete with, you know, Commonwealth Bank and Westpac on benefits. But the reality is, like, we've got over $100 billion worth of salaries that are processed through our platform. We can leverage all of that buying power for the benefit of the consumer, for the employee. So Swag now comes with a wallet and a card and discounts. Ooh. And so we have all of those type of cashback products. We have all these discounts. And my, what do you call it? Your tight ass tips.
Yes.
Yeah, your tight ass tip. My tight ass tip would be something that we're about to launch through Swag. I'll get in trouble for announcing this a few weeks too early. But we're launching a thing where you get paid every day. So we have InstaPay. So if you work through Swag and Employment Hero, you can finish your shift and you can get paid in real time. So that's one cool thing.
Yeah, wow, that's huge.
But for a salaried employee, you can now elect to get paid daily. So your salary gets streamed into an account. Now you can stream your salary into your mortgage offset account if you've got a mortgage. And if you're paying down your mortgage daily rather than monthly, your average account balance is lower over the term of your mortgage. And so you actually save, according to on the average mortgage, you can save about $38,000, over $1,000 per year by streaming your pay daily into your offset account. But also, like, if you're an employee and just buying, then you know, with Swag, you're buying with the power of 2 million people. You're buying with the power of $100 billion worth of, you know, collective buying power. So we're trying to make every person's salary go further than it's ever gone before. And these people work for SMBs. Yeah. We're trying to make SMBs the most attractive employers on the planet. Because they provide 65-70% of all jobs on the planet. So we've got to give them every help we can.
That's unreal. That's huge. That's a massive a massive change to how people would think about an app like yours, which you'd think is, you know, most people out there would think, oh, this helps me process my pay run or my payroll. But really, it's that's an entire step in a direction for the employee So it's, you know, coming to that other side of the equation there and asking them to participate in this. That's really cool.
So cool.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, there's two sides to it. We do everything we possibly can to remove the red tape and hassle for employers, but we're now unlocking these benefits for employees that, you know, are just, it's so exciting. I had no idea that we would be doing this when we started. You know, we 10 years ago, we're to our 10th anniversary. We scoped the whole product, and it was all about employers and how to make them confident and proud to employ people. And then as we got bigger, we're like, oh, hold on, there's a whole new level up here that is like, how do we make employees better off? And it just brings it all together. It also removes this whole stigma that, you know, employment is a competition between employers and employees, and one's trying to screw the other. It's not the case. You know, it's possible that there can be a win. Win for everyone, and technology is the way to do that.
That's so cool.
Oh,
I love it.
That's yeah. I think what we're already doing here is we're starting to segment into our main topic, you know, and then we've done this through the tight ass tip, so that's
yeah, that's definitely way cooler than cash awards. I'm just gonna say that, but I did save $50, so I'm just gonna put that out there. That's my tight ass.
Well, you could save $38,000 over your life of your mortgage, or you could save $50 cool. with Tim's tip.
My wife gets paid monthly. That actually would be really good. That would be really good. So,
We give an award out. We give annual awards out, Ben. They're called the Drunkies. We're actually doing them in the next couple of weeks, and we have we have categories like tightest ass award, which is the person who submits the best tight ass tip to us. And you might be in contention for that award now. That's pretty good.
Very happy with that.
Yeah,
very
you might happy. Have the tightest ass, Ben. let's move on to our main topic. So we've already started touching on some of these future trends that you'd be seeing, Ben, in the industry and around employment. And really what we're just discussing then is the connection between what other benefits you can give employees to collaborate better, and you think technology is the way forward there. So let's just start there. What else are you seeing? What's happening in the industry? What are the trends that are currently occurring that you think will bring that relationship a bit closer, so it's not that competitive sort of mentality that you've been discussing?
Well, I mean, there's so many different ways. I mean, there's so many different things we could talk about here, from artificial intelligence and the effect that that's going to have on employment. You know, there's a very wide scope there. Some people think it's the end of jobs and we'll all be unemployed and cared for like pets by the, you know, AGI. And other people, you know, and I'm in the opposite camp. I believe that that AGI is going to give us the ability to work on, you know, orders of magnitude more things, and that everyone's going to be orders of magnitude more productive. And if everyone's more productive, then more's going to get done, and we're going to need more people to do it. And actually the demand for labor will increase exponentially, and you'll have people earning more money because they are the important ingredient in commerce that is uniquely human, that can't be scaled easily and quickly. So yeah, I actually think that employees are going to be the greatest beneficiaries of artificial intelligence.
I love that idea that we're the unique ingredient that can't be changed or that can't be replaced. It's human touch.
Yeah.
We've always believed quite strongly in human touch in our business and that human aspect of what we do. That, you know, selfishly sits well with me.
Yeah. Do you guys listen to Acquired podcast?
No.
Nope.
It's a brilliant podcast. They do like really long form episodes on individual companies, and they sort of the history of the company, Porsche, and da 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 da. And I listened to one a couple of weeks ago on Hermes, the fashion brand, which I don't think I've ever walked into one of their shops. My poor wife. But they did this amazing thing. And so I didn't realize this is a $260 billion business with 7,000 employees. They sell handbags for $40,000, $50,000 each. But the reason is that each handbag is crafted by an artisan that takes 20 hours to, like, the same person stitches every single thread. Like, that handbag has, I don't know what type of code's in it, but if it breaks, it can be sent back and they'll fix it. And they can actually, like, find the artisan who made it, and then that person repairs it and that type of thing. So it's about, like, it's a great example of where humans could be in, you know, a decade from now if AGI goes off. Well, you know, those handbags are worth so much money because of that unique human quality that goes into them. And that's where I think, like, we're gonna land. So that would be one trend I've been thinking about. You know, I don't think we're seeing any of that yet. Another big topic is this sort of right to disconnect, which I think is really interesting. Like, the government managed to squeeze it through on a, you know, random Tuesday night or something, and all of a sudden it was front page news. It really does bring into question, you know, when you're working remotely, or whether you work in an office, like in an office or in a factory, but go home at night, like, what are your rights and how much contact do you need to have? And there is, you know, a diminishing line between when you're working and when you're not. You know, I've got Slack on 24 hours a day. I'm the worst example of that. Like, I'm a ridiculously long working person. I just, because I love what I do. But I think we, you know, we'll see a lot more of those types of discussions.
I think that's something that I'm hoping to dive into later in this series, I think, is around some of those HR laws that are coming through and some of those changes happening. But that right to disconnect thing was quite interesting, because over COVID especially, everyone started working from home. That you're absolutely right, that the boundaries just... Yeah. They didn't blur, they disappeared. You know, for many people, they were working from home for the first time, and their lounge room became not only with the place that they relaxed, but the place that they worked. And then, you know, if you're sitting there on the couch and you can see your desk and your computer and you're thinking about it and your phone goes off, well, you just walk over and you start doing some stuff. And I think right now, a lot of people are trying to figure out how to create that boundary again. And so it's interesting that that's happening, but then also these laws have been passed around, you know, you don't have to respond to your boss overnight, and you can't get in trouble for not doing that. And so I want to dive a bit more into that in time goes, but I find that topic quite fascinating.
Yeah, well, it also brings into question a lot of the benefits, you know, that remote working provide. And I've been, like, a huge advocate for remote work. I work from home. You know, I've got 1,200 employees all over the planet, 19 different countries. But I've also got a high special needs child, and I have to be here. Like, he needs 24/7 observation. So, you know, I have to be around home to help my wife. And the benefits of remote work are that, you know, I'm a carer. But I can work from home. I can play my role as a carer. That's common to a lot more people than you realize. Working parents, you're working from home today, Tim, because your son's got gastro. You've got people living with disabilities who don't want to commute, find it difficult to commute, but can participate in the world of work very well from home. And then you've got people living in regional and remote areas who. Highly educated mothers and people who just want to, you know, make an income, but they don't have the ability to come to the city to do their work. So, I think you've got to weigh up the pros and cons. And I think the pros of remote work far outweigh the cons. Yes, I agree that line has been blurred, but it is really important that we preserve remote work for all the reasons and all the people that I've sort of mentioned in those groups. And then more importantly, we're on the cusp of an amazing transformation, like planetary transformation, with broadband satellite through Starlink and other satellite services about to connect 3.2 billion people to the internet who are living in, you know, developing nations and pretty poor conditions. Now, all of a sudden, those people are on tap, you know? So we've got to not only... Australia has always had this isolation, but now that we're sort of talking about WWW, the worldwide work, we have to be competitive too. Like, Australians should be able to be employed by any company on the planet and work for any company on the planet. But that might mean working weird hours. It might mean getting contacted by 8 p.m. in Australia, which is actually 9 a.m. in the UK, you know. Mm. So how are all these things going to play out? And again, what's the pros and cons? The benefits of lifting 3.2 billion people from poverty through by connecting them to the global online world of work is far greater than, you know, somebody getting a text message from their boss at 5:30. So we just got to weigh all this up.
Yeah, I think there's a definite difference between the choice for your work and, like, as you said, if you're working from a global company, then obviously you're going to be working strange hours versus the obligation to, after you've done a full day's work, to then continue to work. But I think the full benefits from working from home, aren't yet realized at all. You know, it's here to stay. We often work a hybrid sort of model, you know, a couple of days in the office. We're lucky enough to have a local, mostly local team who can come into the office at least some days of the week, where we can have the benefit of being together, having that culture, having those things. But then at the same time, working from home those couple of days allows us to do those things that you're talking about, or it allows us to find a greater pool of people that we can't find, because employing people in this country is hard at the moment. There's not a lot of people there. We've experienced this recently. It's been really hard.
Two thoughts pop into my head when you were talking about those things, Ben. The first one is definitely, it is super interesting, the fact that our global workforce is globalizing, essentially. Like, there aren't going to be, give it 10, 20 years, the borders on who you work for and where you work are going to change completely compared to what we're used to. I was interested, from the perspective of a company like Employment Hero, what that is really making you guys think, because you obviously are a few steps ahead here, and the HR rules just in Australia alone are a nightmare, let alone employing people overseas. So that's a really interesting topic in and of itself.
Yeah,
too.
That's where we're doing, you know, we're doing a heap of work, effectively trying to dematerialize all of the red tape and condition, you know, those things that people find hard, and almost just make employment a seamless thing, like open banking, but for employment. You can just take an employee can see a role through a thing we call Smart Match, and they can be matched to that role, and when the employer clicks on their profile and says, yeah, I want them, well, they're already onboarded. Like, everything you needed was already in the system. Their payroll details, all of the onboarding process that I explained before has already been done. So you can maximize employment mobility. I can see a world where, maybe 5 years or a decade, people could actually hold down 3 or 4 different jobs and work on the thing that they're really, really good at, and not do the little bits, you know, in the 38-hour week that are just... they're just nothing. They don't actually add any value, but, you know, there's so much that's going to change. Like, it's all happening so quickly.
That's really, really interesting. Yeah, and that's the second part. And what Dan was referring to there as well is recruitment, just how difficult it is to find people for jobs right now in this connected world we live in. And it's sort of like the old of thinking, I need to find someone to come sit in my office, versus the new of, we've got 7 billion people on this planet, and they all have unique talents, but how do I connect with someone in the Philippines, as an example, who's a world away from me, but wants to work in a company like mine? It's super interesting. And so that's where Smart Match comes in, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So I'll quickly explain Smart Match. So I think I sort of did earlier, but yeah, basically, you've got Swag, which is a global app. So we're operating currently across Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Malaysia, Philippines, UK. And if somebody creates a Smart Match a Swag profile, then they can be matched with any role on our platform. And, you know, that's 3 million roles around the world. And we then present beside each role a talent, like a list of talent, people who have been, like, at a very granular level, matched across their qualifications, skills, previous experience with that organization. They've elected to put forward their profile to that organization, and then they can be engaged by that organization. And all of the international employment law that sits behind that is just, it's obfuscated. It all just works. So you can find people anywhere on the planet. And our objective is to become the largest platform for managing human labor on Earth. So, you know, we've started in those countries and we're moving further afield, but we're still predominantly focused on those SMBs in Australia, you know, where we started. So don't, whilst I'm sort of talking about all of that, I certainly haven't lost sight of why we started, which was for the Australian SMB community. And we've done, you know, we've done a good job there, and we're still doing a lot more on making it easy for them to employ people locally or anywhere.
Very cool.
That is really cool. And, you know, a business, even like our accounting firm, we've gone through a journey recently of trying to find talent in our business. It's just been difficult. You know, you can go down the route of going through a recruiter who will cost you an arm and a leg. You can go through, as you said, the post and what was it? Pay and pray. Is that what you called it?
Pay and pray. Yeah.
Pay and pray. Or you can try and go through your local networks. But if there's a platform that has all these people, especially in industries that are very likely to use a platform like yours, and there's a list of people already there ready to go who are interested, then that's just going to make it so much easier to make sure that, you know, those skills gaps that we're currently experiencing or the capacity problems that we're all currently experiencing are much easier to navigate. And I can't see any problem with that ever. if it makes it easier, that's great. I'm all for it.
It translates to a better world because services are done on time and accurately, and people are happy because they're happy with the work they're doing and they're not overworked or stressed. So it does translate to a better world in many ways, and it gives, it's super interesting.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of like where we'll be. I'm hoping by June, it may be later, maybe like Q4, but it'll be second half of this year. You'll be able to have your Employment Hero account for your business. Let's say that it's a hospitality business. You've got your rostering system, which is what we provide. You're making your roster on a Thursday night for next week, and you realize, I don't have enough people for Friday night. There's a list of talent that's already been matched to your business. They've got their RSA. They've got all of the things that they need. They've been, you know, their work rights have been validated. We've got everything they needed to be onboarded to the platform. And you literally just drag and drop somebody into the shift. And then that person gets a ping on their Swag app that says you've been offered a shift at this pub on next Friday. They use the Swag app to clock in when they get to the venue. They clock out when they've finished the shift. The manager approves their hours. And with InstaPay, that person's been paid then. So the whole, like, when you talk about a better world, a better, you know, how things can improve, I think we can change the psychology that people have with their relationship with their time. Because if you can find work like that and you can get paid instantly, then all of a sudden, your time is money. Yeah. And then people are motivated to work when they want to work, take time not to work when they don't need to work. But yeah, you can completely change the way that work is distributed, the way that money is distributed, make businesses better off and make workers better off. Like, this is all, you know, this is all weeks away, weeks and months away. It's not years away. It's happening today.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a huge mindset shift for a business owner as well. Because they feel confined to the very small pool of labor that they have, and that's just people that are in their, say, community or friends of friends, or they've ran into at events or something like that. But if you could have the flexibility of a motivated workforce to plug in to your business on tap, it's a really big mindset shift, because all of a sudden you go from, I don't want to grow because it's just going to create too much stress for me, to let's take every opportunity we can.
That's exactly it.
Let's dream big. Yeah.
That's exactly why we started the business. So, you know, it was that exact point that you just made was that I was an employment lawyer and I was helping small businesses most of the time who had got themselves into trouble. And what I realized was that they represented like the majority of businesses who were, to put it frankly, they were shit scared of employing people. Mm-hmm. And they were apprehensive to grow because the more people I employ, the more potential liability I have, the more stress I have. And so they would limit, they would actually like limit themselves, limit their opportunities because they just didn't want to deal with employment. Mm-hmm. And that has been our driving force from day one is like, how do we make every small business owner feel proud about employing people? Because sometimes it's seen as sort of, I don't think they get the respect that they deserve as employers. No. Like to offer somebody quality employment is a huge gift and privilege. And secondly, not just proud, but confident to employ people.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we've been successful, because that's what we've focused on. Yes, we've now gone down this other path of how do we make employees better off? How do we make employment more valuable for people that get employment? But yeah, the first thing has always been, how do we make employers feel confident? And I think we've done a good job of it.
It's really, really interesting, and it just paints a really exciting picture for the future. And there's a lot of change there as well. If you don't want to adapt and be open-minded to having people working from all sorts of different locations, whether that be locally in a different state or in a different country, then you could get a bit left stuck in the past as well. So,
yep. Some might say that this is employment solved. And yes, I like to throw in the name of the series, like they do in a movie sometimes, into the podcast somewhere.
Well done.
Thank you.
Employment solved by employmenthero.com. And if you're looking for work, then swagapp.com is where you need to go as well. So
that's great.
Let's throw all of the links in there.
Well, I love it.
Ben, you've made me excited to dive into the rest of this series over the next 12 months or so and keep learning about employment and keep learning about all these different areas. And I'm excited to keep working with you guys and to keep educating everyone out there on all the different areas that can help them make them feel confident and proud to get out there and employ more people. So this is going to be good. But before we go, other things. Tim, do you have another thing this week?
Yeah, like I said before, I'm about 12 years late to the party, but I have started watching The Avengers.
Yeah, right as it goes downhill and disappears, you...
Yeah, so I've just watched The Age of Ultron, and we're heading off to... What's the next one? Something about Thanos or something along those lines? Some purple dude.
Are you just watching the Avengers movies, or are you making your way through like all of the Marvel movies?
The main journey, like the Avengers, and then I'll go off on some side quests later. Like I've watched a few. I've watched like the Guardians of the Galaxy and things like that. But I'm the first Thor, but I haven't watched pretty much anything else other than those. So yeah, actually, I did write it off. I've got to say, I wrote it off. I just thought it was Hollywood blockbuster, like really bad. But they're actually pretty good. They make me laugh. And yeah, so I apologize. I'm issuing a formal apology. Side Jingleton, if you're listening, the Avengers are good. Yeah, you're onto something good there, mate.
Cool.
I love this backflip. This is good.
Yeah. What about you guys? Any other things?
Yeah, I've got a couple other things. One is on the plane on the way to Japan. Actually, I got three things I want to recommend. On the plane, this is the first one. Have you ever flown ANA, the Japanese airline?
No, I don't think so. I flew JAL. JAL.
Okay, yeah.
That's different, right?
Different.
It's not ANA.
Different. Okay. Can highly recommend ANA. The legroom on that plane is incredible. I was just in, you know, regular economy, and I'm a tall man. And normally on like a Jetstar flight or even a Qantas flight or whatever, I'm stuck up. My legs are hitting the front.
Terrible.
If someone leans the seat back, it's a wreck. This, so much room. It was the most room I've had in an economy ever. It was good. Food was good. They were delightful.
Entertainment?
Entertainment was good. Plenty of movies on the thing. And that's my next thing. I watched The Holdovers. Great movie if you haven't seen it. You should watch The Holdovers. Paul Giamatti. Good movie. And then the last thing that I want to recommend is the F1 season is back. I watched Drive to Survive, the new season of that, over the weekend, which is conveniently timed with the start of the actual F1 season. And
a little birdie tells me you watched 8 hours straight of Drive to Survive.
Yeah, listen, I may have been tired. I may have been tired from my trip to Japan, and I sat down on the couch and watched the first episode, and before I knew it, 8 hours had passed by and I'd watched all of it. I may have slept a bit. Sure. There was some sleep, there was a bit of work, a few emails in there. But yeah, no, it was 8 hours on the couch. Solid. I'm not proud of it.
It's like a marathon race.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it. Yeah. But that's
I'll throw mine in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mine's a Netflix series. If your wives may have watched it, if you've got them, called One Day. Have you heard of that?
No.
One Day.
It's a love story. So it's a chick flick, but oh my god. The last two episodes, if anyone needs to just like do some emotional work, watch
really?
One Day. But I bawled like a baby, and not just like for a little bit, like for a chunk of time, and then I woke up the next day still upset, still sad, like totally sad. It is. Whoa. I'm not usually, you know, when you watch a movie on a plane and you get more emotional for some reason at altitude. I reckon if I'd watched it on a plane, I would have just—I don't know—they would have had to like land early and get me off.
Landing.
But if watching it at sea level, oh my god, it's a good show. And we've got a channel in Slack with the company, and everyone was just raving about it. So I got stuck into it. I can recommend it. It was good.
That's sounds awesome. That sounds good.
I don't know if I'm ready for that emotional journey.
I'm the same.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. It's funny that being on an aeroplane and movies making you more emotional. That is definitely a thing. I remember I was on a plane not long ago and I was watching the Barbie movie. I didn't cry, but I definitely teared up a little bit at one moment. I'm like, this is the Barbie movie. Like, why is this happening?
Oh, my God. And I watched one, I can't even remember what it was called, some really average Australian movie about a chef whose wife died in a car accident.
Okay.
And this is like 10 years ago, and I was sitting on the opposite side of the plane, and my wife came over and just sort of like tapped me on the shoulder. I'm sort of three quarters of the way through the movies, and I had tears just streaming down my face. And I don't even know why. Like, it was a sad movie, but it is, it's altitude.
Yeah.
It just turns on your emotions.
That's hilarious. I don't think I've ever watched a sad movie on a plane, but I have watched a few scary movies, and that's embarrassing too. Like, you just you jump, and like then you realize no one else is watching the same movie as you, and you look like an absolute idiot because you just jumped and screamed in the middle of a flight.
All right. Well, we should wrap up here. If you want to find us, Two Drunk Accountants on all the social medias, twodrunkaccountants.com.au, our website, twodrunkpodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. But Ben, if people want to find out more about Employment Hero or any of the great features that you've discussed and announced today, where do they go?
So employmenthero.com will take you to our product, and swagapp.com will take you to Swag. Swag's more for the job seeker, the employee, and Employment Hero is obviously for the business, the payroll administrator, the HR person, or the business owner.
Perfect. That's great. Yes. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to be back next month discussing more topics with the team. So excited for that. So tune back in next month for Employment Solved. But until then, we'll see you next week, everybody. Calculator.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.